Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Artemis Podcast. I am Michele Pancera, and I'm here today with David Stern, one of the founding directors of Items. Hi, David.
Hi, Michele. I'm looking forward to discussing. I think we're discussing AI and Stack.
Yes, we are discussing Stack. We are discussing AI, and both topics are worthy of separate discussions. But the intersection nowadays is incredibly interesting. And I myself am working on some integration. So where should we start?
Let's start with the bits that I know, and then you can fill in with what you've been doing more recently. So you have been for a number of years working with Santiago and others on using an AI agent to help in the authoring of Stack questions. You've been authoring Stack questions for partners, Caltech, University of Trieste, and many other African universities as well. And the use of this AI agent to help in that process was transformative. A few months ago, there were advances in particularly Claude code, but other commercial AI systems in the way that multi-agent systems were coming along. And a colleague of ours called Ben Davis from University of Southampton has started using a multi-agent system to author Stack questions based on the SMP, the School Maths Project textbooks. And that's been extremely exciting as well. And he's made some really good progress on that. And more recently, you've been interacting with Ben and trying to look forward. What are we actually building for going forwards? And how might this lead into a multi-agent author assistant, I suppose, for Stack questions? That's my current understanding. Where have you got to?
Yes, your summarization contains so much. I would like to jump in so many points. Maybe just for the audience, let's add the fact that I've been teaching mathematics for a long time. I've been studying mathematics before that, authoring Stack questions on my own. And then at some point, just to assist myself really in the learning process, but also in the editing itself, I made a Stack assistant using OpenAI tools. And this was, I think, a couple of years ago. And the output of that assistant was question variables, question text, and general feedback, which means some Maxima code and some HTML. And the two interact with each other. This was very fast compared to what I would have done and incredibly useful. As you said, I've been using it for a couple of years. But it's really not what it could be. And again, as you mentioned, the tools now have just changed. And something like Claude Code can really tackle complex problems and lead to results that are way more interesting. And manage multi-agent systems. This is where Ben Davis comes in, because at least from my point of view, I always wanted to learn about multi-agent systems, but interacting with Ben was my first actual occasion to see how they are built. And one of the surprising facts is that the coding itself almost disappears. Of course, I still have to be able to read code and mostly have a very good idea of what I'm doing and what is happening. The structure and the ideas, but the coding itself is becoming almost trivial. And the speed at which things can happen is improving incredibly. And what Ben has showcased to us really solves a use case that is specific to him, but has a lot of intersections with what I would like to do, which is, yes, an assistant for authoring Stack Questions, but also an editing interface that would just be powerful for Stack authors, that would also be potentially detached or not dependent on Moodle. And since I'm mentioning non-dependency, also the models that we want the author to use should be, well, either open models, or at least the user should have the option to choose which models they are using. I realize I've been talking a bit too much. I could go way more in details.
Let me come in on a couple of specific things you've said. You've talked about the tools becoming much more powerful. And I'd like to just be clear on what's changed over the last 2 years in this way. And I've got a really concrete example which comes from our discussions in the past, which I believe illustrates this. 2 years ago, when you were working with the Stack Assistant, broadly, you were giving it the information of how you needed it to write Maxima code and the HTML code. And then you were putting that into the Moodle Stack interface by copying and pasting. And the reason for that was that the underlying Stack Questions are authored as XML, and actually extracting where it needed to change the XML was something that a couple of years ago, the models weren't that good at. Whereas now it is something which is, you know, changing the XML, it takes a bit of the effort, if you want, of the models, but it is not a big deal anymore. Is that one of the ways in which we can articulate how the power of the models has been really transformed over the last couple of years?
Well, that is definitely one of the ways. The models can just handle the XML files way better. For example, the PRT, the partial response tree, might be very complex in itself. But not only that, once it is embedded in the XML, it's completely unreadable from a human perspective. So if we wanted a more complete AI assistant on XMLs, simply the models were not powerful enough 2 years ago, for sure. And then it's more than that, because now models can really be agents, not just models, but agents, meaning that they can interact with repositories, have self-feedback loops where they spot mistakes, take decisions, take actions. They have tools that they can call.
Wait, you're now going a step beyond, because this is what a multi-agent system gives us above the more powerful models themselves, which I agree is even more powerful. But even if we forget about the powers that come from the multi-agent systems, the models themselves and what you can do in an individual instance is transformed. And I think, let me just see if I can articulate another way this has transformed based on some of the sort of instances I know, that whereas before, as we said, we would have avoided giving it the XML to be able to accurately make sure that we're getting things in the right place, that they're going to work. I think the further thing would be, in the way you were using it before, you would be using it for individual questions, whereas now you may well use it across a set of questions. And it's just able to take much more in its memory as building consistency across things and so on. Is that another articulation?
That's exactly right. In the case of Ben Davis, this is exactly what he's doing. He's working at the same time on multiple questions. In what I'm doing at the moment, not only I'm working on single questions, one question at a time, but also for the sake of token usage, I am really pushing the models to provide diffs instead of complete XMLs as outputs. Not because they can, it's just because it's potentially very costly, especially because the XMLs are so long.
Yeah.
There's a lot to think about on which exact models we use for which instance and the level of effort that we want the model to have, which is roughly speaking how many tokens we want to use per iteration. And that optimization part is one of the interesting bits of this work.
Absolutely. And that relates very heavily to your multi-agent systems, which I was sort of drawing you back from, but I should now let you loose on.
Well, the multi-agent question, let's say, it's an interesting one, because we might be led to think naturally that if one agent does one job nicely, then more agents will do the same job better. That's not always the case. And even if it is the case, there's diminishing returns depending on the tasks. And this is actually very intuitive. If you have a kitchen filled with 50 people, cooking a dish of pasta is going to be more difficult than with one. Now, this is a somewhat silly example, but it just represents that it's not always the case that brute force helps with the task. And so depending on the task, you have to ask yourself, is the task splittable in smaller subtasks where the overall context doesn't necessarily have to be complete? If between every sub-agent you have to pass the whole context, then it is a question. It makes sense to have a multi-agent system. Now, for stack questions, a single agent nowadays is able to just produce something useful. But it is also the case that there are roles that can clearly be split. And moreover, I go back to the tools that agents can use now. There could also be a loop between, for example, an agent that produces a draft of a question that then communicates with the Stack API to get confirmation that the question works. And if it doesn't, then the error goes back to the same agent. That would not really be a multi-agent, but it would be like a loop between the same agent and some tools that we can use. So I guess the next interesting point is, once you decide that multi-agent systems would be of benefit, even considering the cost that they have, then what is the most sensible structure that the multi-agent system should have? Because there are plenty. And how do we manage the orchestration?
This is exactly the sets of questions which are there for any multi-agent system, whether it's in, as you're doing with Stack, or the work that other people in our team are doing. It is the same questions that we're asking. And I love the way you formulated this in terms of, at what point is it worth the cost of having more agents? Because at the same time, having more agents where some of the tasks can be simplified can reduce the cost of individual agents. And so there's these interesting payoffs backwards and forwards as to the advantages and disadvantages of more or less agents, and then the nature of those individual agents to be effective at their tasks.
Yes, that's a very interesting point. And there's no clear best answer to what the system should be. For example, I heard someone thinking that we should have an agent that is just dedicated to creating PRTs, because the PRTs are so complex that it's worth having a specific agent for that. I don't think that's the case. I think that would be an instance of splitting the work too much and then losing efficiency and information.
Can I just be clear for people? The language you're using may not be clear. So PRTs, these partial response trees, these are how we give automated feedback, deterministic feedback to students who are interacting with the questions. And so it is absolutely sensible and natural to use these AI agents to help in the authoring of PRTs and these partial response trees. So the question that's being posed is, should this be a separate agent or should this be the same agent? Now, let me just come in with my understanding of that as an interesting question. On the one hand, you want it to be separate because the authoring of partial response trees is a technical task where if you're not authoring partial response trees, you don't need to know how partial response trees need to be authored. You don't need to understand that part of the HTML. You can have efficiencies for the agent who doesn't need to learn about that. And your specialist agent can have that information as part of what they're learning how to author. On the other hand, if you're within a question context, it is actually that same context, which of course needs to be the authoring of the question and the authoring of the feedback. Separating out the question and the feedback is creating an overhead in terms of actually what you're needing to know or learn about. You can't author a partial response tree unless you know what the question is. And so actually separating that out is creating an overhead where the partial response authoring agent would then need to have the question as context provided. Otherwise, it can't, of course, author sensible feedback. So those are the sort of things that you're worried about and you're playing with here as to which of these is more efficient. This is an interesting matter of discussion, and it's probably going to be context specific. If you're doing lots of partial response trees for lots of similar questions, then it might be sensible to split that out and to have similarities about how you author good partial response trees. That's what you're then doing more specially. And the actual question context is not what's most important. That's an easy thing to just have in each case. Whereas in the systems that you're building, you're thinking much more a question at a time and often quite complicated questions, in which case the question context is everything. Being able to author a partial response tree, that's a small amount of additional information, but the question is the whole with the feedback as part of it. Have I understood this correctly?
Oh, yes. And that's exactly an instance of an interesting decision where it's not that trivial to get to know what would be the best approach. And sometimes you just have to experiment a bit. Sometimes it's not just the underlying structure, but it's also which models you choose and the kind of definition you give to the agents. So there's so much to play around with before we can even be close to an optimization. And that's fun. It's just fun.
Absolutely. And of course, what we're doing more broadly at the moment is exactly trying to get different people to play around with different instances of this, because understanding what is currently possible and then being able to put in place systems to try and say, well, actually, what is needed? Because that's the next question. If you can get an authoring system which works really well, well, then there is the question. I like the way you frame this, is sort of, can we swap out different models? Could we get away with simpler models, maybe even small language models instead of large language models, which remove the environmental impact, the costs, all sorts of things for many of the tasks we're asking our agents to do? And that's now a whole nother set of questions, which is so interesting to ask. And those questions are the ones where we start getting to the, well, to being able to do this really responsibly. Because at the heart of the question about, is it okay to use these models where they're relying on big data centers, which have all these other questions around them? Well, at the heart of that question is really another question of, well, do we even need these big models? Are we going to continue to need these big models? Are they adding value above what smaller models, which don't need the same energy or water consumption? And those questions are ones which, in general, we can't answer at the moment for two reasons. The first reason being this is all too new. And the second reason being, well, the models are still changing so fast. What would have happened 6 months ago and what's happening now, everything is changing so fast that you need established, stable systems first to be able to then do some of this optimization, as you put it.
That's right. We don't know what's going to happen in 6 months, a year, and maybe a year from now, all of this will just be trivial and you'll just be able to ask one single model to do all of what I'm building. We don't know, but I guess a middle ground, because you mentioned that the cost of using these latest models is not just a monetary cost, but there are all sorts of other costs. And I guess a middle ground could be that we use the expensive models to build systems that are then capable to run with less expensive models and hopefully small language models.
And this is a strategy that is being used already by a number of our partners, people like Digital Green. This is exactly what they're doing. And they're doing it in ways that I think are extremely responsible and very clever. They're using these large language models to be able to train the systems, to be able to build small language models that can then be serving farmers directly. And because otherwise the cost implications of serving farmers in low resource environments would be too high. It's really brilliant what they're doing. And I think the same sort of ideas are going to be true in our context, where we're looking at things which will get used in low resource environments. The other thing which I want to pick out that you said is maybe in 6 months' time, a single model will just be able to do this. To be able to do everything you're doing now, we're putting a lot of work and careful thought into. And this is this argument taken further, if you want. This becomes the argument for pushing towards what people call artificial general intelligence. And my instinct is I'm not worried about that. Yes, it might be true that in 6 months' time, the models work so much better that we can do things more simply. But the resources that they will need to do that, they're not going to go down. They're going to go up. The more complex your model is, the more it's going to take to be doing those more powerful things. I'm much more interested in this sort of question of actually once we're breaking it down to these multi-agent systems, and once we understand how to do that, which are the tasks which actually require the large language models and which are the tasks which can be simplified down? These are the really interesting questions that we're going to be able to ask, because at the end of the day, it's going to get soon to the case where we know what the end results are that we're wanting, and therefore we can benchmark against them. So we can actually say, this is the quality of the models that we're wanting to build. This is the performance we want them to be able to have. Okay, let's see, how do different models perform? What are the costs? What's the value for money in terms of these models? What's the environmental impact? These are questions which I believe within the next few years will become industry standard, which at the moment really nobody's able to ask these questions because everybody's too busy building the models and the systems to work now and to actually solve problems. Whereas I think pretty soon we'll get to the stage where having a multi-agent system which solves a problem will exist. And then we'll be able to do that optimization work and get it down and actually ask the harder questions and push researchers to build better models that serve these environments with lower cost, with lower environmental impact and so on.
Yeah, all of this then, of course, gets naturally connected to the other previous episodes about empires of AI. And I think for this reason, this might be a good moment to close this session, because then a listener could go there to have additional information.
Sounds great. Thank you for this, and thank you for sharing what you're working on. It's great to see how this is advancing.
Thanks, David.